In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our readings from the Gospel according to St. Matthew as our sermon text this morning. We read in the 21st chapter, the parable of the tenants, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time. And the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the vineyard's owner. It never ceases to amaze me. It always strikes me that such beautiful and peaceful places could be or could have been the scenes of such bloodshed and death. Maybe you felt the same way when you visited Gettysburg or when you went to Sharpsburg, Maryland and stood next to Antietam Creek. There is a different kind of place that is beautiful and pastoral that one would not associate with bloodshed and death. That is a vineyard. A vineyard is a beautiful picture postcard. Acres and acres of beautiful vineyards. Maybe an ivy-covered wall around it. Not so much anymore, a watchtower there to look for enemies. But in the middle of most vineyards, I believe, there is usually a gift shop. There is the winery itself. It's just a beautiful pastoral scene. Quiet. You wouldn't think of it as being a place of death and destruction. We've seen lately, obviously it can be a place of destruction under the forces of nature, those terrible fires that destroyed the vineyards in California. But in our Old Testament lesson that I hope you see is closely tied to our gospel and Jesus' parable, there was another kind of bloodshed, another kind of death and destruction that took place there. And that was when the owner of the vineyard sent his servants there to gather his fruits that the tenants killed them. Not just once, but several times. And when the owner thought that he would respect his son, that they even took that son outside of the vineyard and put him to death. Death and destruction is exactly what happened in the parable of the tenants, Or as we learned it in the King James, the parable of the wicked husbandman. This parable of Jesus is a striking contrast, isn't it? It's a striking contrast between what God wanted then and should have been, and what God wants and is now. It's about the expansion of His kingdom to include us Gentiles. And it's about the judgment that takes place on all tenants, past and present, in the kingdom of God because of His Son. What happened? Jesus tells us by quoting Psalm 118, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone," or the cornerstone. It was Tuesday of Holy Week, the Tuesday before Good Friday. Jesus was in the temple courts teaching and preaching, speaking one last time, particularly to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders who were questioning His authority. "Who gave you the authority to preach and teach here in the temple? Who gave you the authority to do miracles?" All three of the synoptic gospel writers record this parable. Matthew, who was writing for Jews, emphasizes the betrayal of the Jews against God's prophets and against His Son, the account we have here. Mark and Luke were writing their gospels for Greeks, for the Gentiles. And so their emphasis is more the expansion of that kingdom, of that vineyard, to include the Gentiles, to include us. The vineyard is the kingdom of God. The landowner is God. The servants whom He sent to look for good fruits, His fruits, were the prophets. Time and time again, God sent the prophets, from Moses to Isaiah to Ezekiel to Malachi, all the way up through the last one, John the Baptist. Those Old Testament prophets came representing the owner of the tenant, of the vineyard. They were the servants of God to gather the fruits of faith and righteousness from the Israelites. And they were faithful, weren't they? Century after century, they repeated the sure promises of God, particularly the promise of the Savior. What did they find there? Rejection. They found death. They found a nation who would not listen to "Thus says the Lord." We read, "The tenants seized His servants. They beat the one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then He sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way." All through the Old Testament, all through the history of Israel, God never gave up on His people. He sent them prophet after prophet, preaching, "Thus says the Lord." Isaiah, in our first lesson today, speaks for God about the result that would happen. Isaiah saw in prophecy the events that Jesus is talking about here in the gospel lesson. The owner of the vineyard finally thought, well, they'll respect my Son. They'll recognize my Son when He comes, and they'll believe in Him, and they'll welcome Him, and they'll rejoice that I fulfilled my word, and they will then produce fruits in keeping with repentance. Good fruits of being my people, loved by me from eternity. But what happened to the Son? The same thing. They said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So it was no different for the son. When the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders saw Jesus and pretty much recognized him as the Messiah, but not the Messiah they wanted, not the Messiah that they would accept, then they decided to put him to death. Make no mistake, they weren't confused. Just a couple of verses after our text, we read that when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. But the result of this is, remember that in the Pharisees, when Jesus asked them, "Well, what should happen to these wicked tenants?" And they said, "Well, you should take the vineyard away from them and give it to somebody else that will bear good fruit." And so Jesus said, "All right, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it away from Israel and I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. So now my kingdom, my vineyard, will expand. It will extend out into all the world." So the first point, the immediate point of Jesus' parable is that because the Jews as a nation rejected the prophets and the Son of God as the Savior, that God extended that kingdom, extended that vineyard of his grace out more readily and more abundantly to all the peoples of the world. In Christ, God has extended his call of grace to all, and that includes each and every one of you. That includes me. It includes everyone in the world. When the first tenants were killed, or rather when the first prophets were killed, God sent more. When those today reject those who preach God's word, God in his grace continues to send out proclaimers of that true gospel, of that pure gospel of Jesus. There are millions of Christians around the world who have preachers who teach them about Jesus and preach that salvation in Christ alone, and the Holy Spirit brings them into the Lord's vineyard. The stone the builders rejected. Israel were the builders. And they rejected the thing that would bring it all together. A capstone, as you've heard me say before, when two arches come up, the capstone is the one right in the middle that holds them together as both arches lean against that capstone. Or the cornerstone was the foundation stone, not just decorative or for a ceremony, but it actually set the strength and the directions of the good building that was raised on top of it. They rejected that cornerstone. They rejected that building stone of the kingdom of God, and they set it aside. But now, for us, and for all who believe, Jesus Christ has become that capstone, the thing that holds the kingdom of God together, the thing that holds us together. He is the cornerstone on which the church stands and on which we build our lives of faith. So the stone that the builders rejected has become, for believers today, the very foundation of our faith. God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, talks about that in Psalm 118, where Jesus quotes that to the chief priests and the Pharisees. But God's judgment now on them and on us takes place only on the basis of that cornerstone of Christ on which we build. And the picture really is this, that it has become for them a stumbling block. What was meant for them to be the cornerstone of their faith has become a stone that they fall over and trip over. It would be like a person building a building and taking the main part of it and saying, no, I don't want to use this. I'm just going to set it over here by the side. And then every time they walk back and forth in their building, stumbling around in the dark, they trip on that. They stumble over that because they've set it aside, and now every time they go by, they trip over it, and it causes them to fall. Well, that's the picture that Jesus is giving here. That those who rejected Christ now stumble over him. They trip over him because they didn't want to build on him, and they set him aside. But now we and all believers have Christ then also as a basis for our judgment. Not the stone that we trip over. He's not a stumbling block to our salvation or to our faith, but rather he is the thing upon which we build. Through Christ, God's judgment gives that kingdom of God to others through the gospel. Matthew writes, to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus says, he will give it to a people who will produce its fruit. It is through Christ that we are judged, not guilty of our sins. It is through Christ now that we bear the good fruits of our faith. It is through Christ that we now live and now act and return to him the blessings that we give to him. So the historical context is that expansion of the kingdom from the Jews to the Gentiles. Our immediate application for this week and for the future is, are we producing those good fruits? We are, because we're the children of God, because we're the tenants in the kingdom of God. But we always have to be warned and be careful so that we don't lose sight of that. To remember that that's what God looks for from us. But how do we keep producing those fruits? And that is through the Word of God. And here is the connection with our worship, with the gathering rite, based on the Word of God. It is the Word of God that sets the cornerstone and the capstone in our hearts on which we build our faith. It is Christ that produces those good fruits, his fruits, that we give back to him when he looks for them. So the question for us today is, how do we receive the servants of our master when they come to us with his word? Do we receive them? Do we listen to them? Do we believe them? Do we go to them when we look for the answers of life's problems and questions because we know they use God's word? Or do we go to God's word when we want the answers to those questions? Or do we throw the tenants out? Do we maybe kill them metaphorically in the sense of not listening to them, not paying attention to them, not hearing what they say when they say, thus says the Lord? And then the question also is, how do we receive the Son? Think if you were visiting a vineyard and you were looking up at the main vineyard, at the production place there, at the winery. You're looking at the winery and somebody said, the son of the owner is there. What would you do? Would you say, you know, this is a pretty nice vineyard. I'd like to do with it what I want. So I'm going to run up there and I'm going to kill the owner's son so that I can take it over? Or would you say, oh, I want to meet him. I want to go and see who that is. I want him to tell me about his vineyard. I want him to share with me about the fruits that he is growing. Maybe he'll hire me, or maybe he'll take me in and I can work in his vineyard, in his kingdom. And I'll know by talking to him what fruits he wants me to help produce or to bring forth in my labors that are his fruits and to his glory. I believe it's the second one. I believe that that's what you want and know is the right thing when it comes to the preaching of God's Word and to the hearing of God's Word. A while ago, I came across an interesting book about the current state of both preaching and listening in many churches today. In fact, I mentioned to the Bible class last Sunday, as you look for a new pastor, that the first thing that you need to consider is preaching, because that's the most important thing that your pastor does, is prepare and preach God's Word to you. But let me just share this, a little bit of this, what this author wrote about preaching and what people want to hear generally in the church today. He wrote, "There is not so much a premium today on preaching that seeks to uncover the truth and reveal it to people. People prefer to enjoy instead the repetition of half-truths that they already know, cosmeticized and represented in a way that they find entertaining and non-threatening. Nuggets of wisdom that they have handled until they fairly gleam from the fondling." Unquote. And that just really struck me about a lot of preaching in the church today. May God grant us the continued interest to welcome the servants of the owner of the vineyard, that does not become what we want to hear from them. But we want to hear whole truths. We want to hear even hard truths. But we want to hear comforting truths from them also in the gospel. Welcome the servants. Welcome the son. Think of what you would do if you visited that winery that I meant, or that I gave you the example. Because Jesus Christ is in the house. Jesus Christ is in this winery in the midst of his vineyard. He is the landowner's son, the capstone, the heir of it all. Find him. Run to him. Listen to what he has to say. Because in him, God has extended his grace to us all. Amen.